Abu Daf Samach Tes Omid Aleph Esve Abaye. We had the Shita of Rabbah that a katan could not be the father of a child. Abaye asks from a Brisa. The Brisa says Ish, and we're talking about a pasuk now in Vayikra Yutes. And this is called a Ba'al Shifcha Harufa. We're talking about a Shifcha, she's a Knanis, and she was designated for an Eved Ivri, and somebody had a relationship with her. That somebody has to bring a Karban Asham, and the Shifcha itself has to get Malkus. And that's what's in the Torah. But the Torah describes Ish. Ein li ela Ish. Ben teisha shanim v'yom echad sheroi l'biya minayin. How do we know that even if the Boel, in this case is a katan, he's ben teisha v'yechad, yom echad, he's roi l'biya. And teisha v'yechad means he's reached his ninth birthday. The Brisa says that he's roi l'biya. Talmud lomar v'ish. And we add the extra vav as a ribui to teach me that even in a ben teisha, there is a chiyuv for her to get malchus because she had this relationship and she's a shivcha harufa. Now, although the Torah itself doesn't specify exactly at what age the child has the capability, and that's already a different sugya based in nida. But in any event, the Brisa clearly says that a ben teisha shanim v'yom echad is roi l'biya, and the Gemara is operating with the following premise, that if he's roi l'biya, that means he's roi for hazra. He can also have, he could inseminate. In other words, he has semen, and therefore he can inseminate a woman, and that indicates that he has the ability to father a child. Now, there's a gigantic machlokus here between the Rambam and the Ravid on the one hand, and the Meiri on the other hand. According to the Shitas of Rambam, in the case of Ben Teisha, not only does she, the Shivcha, have to get Malkus, but he, the Boel, the boy in this case, has to bring a Karban Asham. And this, from Reb Chaim Brisker's perspective, was the proof positive that a katan is capable of a Maisa Avera. He could be punished. Otherwise, why would he be Chayv Karban if it wasn't a Maisa Avera? There's no Chayv Karban without a Maisa Avera. The Meiri says no, that what we're doing is we're including from this Vav, a Ben Teisha, as far as the Machayev of the Shivcha is concerned, that she gets Malkus, but he, the child, does not have to bring a Karban Asha because apparently he's not capable of a Maisa Avera that would generate a chiyuv Karban. Now, in the Parsha, in Vayikra Yutes of Baal Shivcha Harufa, the Torah uses the term Shivcha Zera. And what that means is that the Boel had Shichva Zera. And this proves from this Brisa that a Ben Teisha is already capable of fathering a child. This is a Kasha on Rabbah. And Rabbah responded to Abai's Kasha with a defense, and he says, Yeshlo v'yeno molid. It's true. Excuse me, that the Ben Teisha has Shichva Zora, but it's not true that he can father a child. And Rabbi gives a mashal. He says, Kitvua shalohi via shlish nami. If you have grains that have not grown yet to the third of their full development, now such grains can produce seed, but those seeds, excuse me, if they are planted, will not grow. And in the Nimshal, a Ben Tes can produce sperm, but he cannot impregnate a woman. He can inseminate her with sperm, and that's Shichva Zora. That's enough for that bia to be a bia shukha charufa to mechayev malchus, but as far as her becoming pregnant, that's an impossibility, so insists Rava, because a katan is not able to father a child. The Gemara now quotes a brisa that supports Rava. The Bei Chizkiya Tana, we have a brisa of the Bei Chizkiya, V'chi Yazid Ish. This is in the parsha in Shmos Chaf Aleph of an intentional misa. And instead of saying Ki Arshia Ish, it says Ki Yazid. The Torah specifically chose this word Yazid. And Yazid indicates cooking, as we'll soon see by Yaakov Avinu in the case of these Nezid Adoshim. And why does the Torah deliberately use the word Yazid Ish as opposed to Yarshia? And the answer is to teach us that Ish Mezid U Mazria, that a man cooks up the zera, meaning the sperm in his body, and the cooking here is a mashal for preparing something that could be used. And the sperm has matured to the point where it has its power. That's because we're talking about an ish who's already 13 years old and he's a gadol. But ein hakatan, the Torah says yazid ish, but lafuke katan, ein hakatan mezid umazria. He doesn't have the ability to cook or to create mature sperm that would impregnate a woman, and therefore he would be able to be a father of a child. So this brice of Debei Chizkiya certainly supports Rabba. Omalei Rav Mordechai Rav Ashi, my mashba dehai mezid lishna de bishulehu. Why do you make a connection between mezid in the pasuk of kiyozid and bishul to say that there's a maturation process, just like you prepare, cooking prepares food for you, so too the sperm becomes mature so that it can now impregnate a woman. And Gemara answers, Dechsiv Vayozed Yaakov Nozid. So the word Nozid is referring to cooking, in this case, cooking up a stew. And that's a pasuk in Bereishis Chaf Hei, and this is going to be the source for the Yazid and the Mezid as referring to cooking. The Gemara now again asks a kasha on Rabba. V'atana debei Rabbi Yishmael. Tana debei Rabbi Yishmael is going to darshan the parsha that we're dealing with of Ben Sora Morir. And in that parsha it says Ben. Says Rabbi Yishmael, Ben Velo Av. And what does this mean? We're talking about a boy who is a son. Ben means he's a son. He can become a Ben Soru Morer. And if he's a father, he cannot become a Ben Soru Morer. What does that mean? He's a father, he cannot become Ben Soru Morer. Hechi Domi. And obviously the circumstances here that the Bryce is addressing is that the boy is disqualified from becoming a Ben Soru Morer. Based on the fact that he's a father, what does that mean? Ilema di aber basar di aisi shtei soros. If you're going to tell me that he had a relationship with a woman after he reached gadlus, that means he was already a ben yud gimel shonim, and he had shtei saros vi olid, and he had a child makami delakif. Zakon, after all, the Mishnah says that the maximum age for a Ben Soru Morer would be up to the point where the pubic hairs grew around his member. So this implies that a boy can become a Ben Soru Morer 9 months after his gadlus, right? Because he impregnated a woman, he became a father, he was excluded under the din, the miut of Ben Velo Av, during the period of time in which he could have become a Ben Soru Morer, but he's mufka because he became a father. In any event, the Mishnah clearly states that this boy becomes subject to the law of Ben Sor Mora between the time of his becoming a Gadol up until the time of Yaakov HaZokon HaTachton. And therefore, we're assuming now that he impregnated a woman after he became a Gadol. And again, if we want to defend Rava, and he became a father actually 9 months later. And that 9 months later is within the period or before that sealing and cutoff of a Lakif Hekef Zokan. So the Gemara asks, Mi Ika Shahus Kule Hai, is it true that we allow for such a an extended period of time between Gadlus and the sealing of Yaakov, Yaakov HaZokon, Va'omar Rav Chuspidai, Kol Yomav Sheben Sorumayn Eilah Shlosh Chadoshim Bilvan, the period of time between Gadlus and Hakof HaZokon HaTachton is a maximum of 3 months. The entire period of Ben Sor Morer is, according to Rav Chuspidai, and we don't know anyone who argues with him, a 3 month period. And therefore, this child cannot become a father within the period that lends himself to be a Ben Sor Mor and exclude him under the mute of Ben Velo Av. If he impregnated a woman after he became a Gadol, then he would only become a father 9 months later. Elolav Makami Delaisish De Saros. The Abir Makami Delaisish. It must be that he impregnated a woman a number of months, let's call it 6 months before he became a Gadol. So he was 12 and a half. And he had now Isish De Saros. He had two Saros. He became a Gadol. And Violid Makami Delakiv Zokan. And his, you know, the woman that he had a relationship with gave birth to a son, and he became a father before the 3 month period the terminated. Until we arrived at the 3 month period, he's already a father because he impregnated a woman 6 months before he became a Gadol. Ushvamino, we see from this Vraisa of the Bei Rabbi Shmuel clearly that Katan Molid, that as a result of the relationship he had with a woman when he was 12 and a half, we'll call it, she became pregnant. He became a father 9 months later. And the miut excludes him from being a Ben Sorumah because he's an Av. And this is contrary to the opinion of Rabba Lo. The Gemara says we can deflect this proof as well. And why is that? Li'olam di'abir basar di'aisi shtei saras. He was only able to impregnate this woman, and the conception took place after he became a gadol, and he had already shtei saras. Vi'olid basar di'akiv zokan. And Enochinami, the birth was, shall we say, a half a year after the period of time of Hakofa zokan atachton. Udekokasha de'rabbi kruspadai, and you'll ask me the question, well, how does that square with Rav Chuspidai, who says that the only period of time he could become a Ben Sor Mor following Godless is 3 months? Ki asa Rav Dimi Omar, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he said, Ami Marv, he told us what they said in Eretz Yisrael. Ben, what does Rabbi Yishmael mean in his Bryce and his mute of Ben? Ben v'lo haroi likroso av. He's got to be a Ben that's not old enough, not mature enough, that he could be fit to be called a father. Meaning, as soon as he impregnates a woman and she begins to show, let's say it takes 3 months, at that point, we view him as a quote-unquote roi lios av. And at that point, he is excluded from becoming a Ben Sor Mor under this mute of Ben Velo Haroi Likroso Av. And that's all within the 3 month period after he became a Gadol. Because if he impregnated, let's say he impregnated the woman on his 13th birthday after he had Shtei Saras on that very day, she was showing already, she was pregnant and showing 3 months later, and at this point he still could become a Ben Sor Mor, if not for the mute of Haroi Likroso Av. He's already Roy Likroso Av. Likroso means that people call him a father, so to speak. In other words, they refer to him as someone who impregnated a woman. She's noticeably pregnant. And he's fit to become a father. That's how they describe him. Now, this interpretation of Rabbi Yisrael's Braisa, which would be reconciled with Rabbi, which reflect Rabbi's view that a minor cannot become a father of a child, Rav Chisda, he holds that a minor can become a father of a child against Rav Huna, against Rabbi, and he would interpret this Braisa as disqualifying a boy who actually had a child before he reached the Hakofas Zokon HaTachton. Because even a child could impregnate a woman. Now the Gemara comes back to analyze Rav Kruspidoy's halacha, his principle. Gufa, Omer Rav Kruspidoy, Omer Ravi Shabtai, Kol Yomav Shem Ben Sormer, Eina Elish Shlosh Chadoshim Vilvad, Varnan Tanan. We learned in the Mishnah, Mishayavi Shtei Saros, Viad, Sheyakiv Zokon. It's very strange that the Mishnah itself doesn't mention this 3-month period. And establish that after Gadlus, you have up to 3 months within which, up till which he can become a Ben Sor Mora. You're telling me, Rav Kruspidoy, that it's up until the time it's up until this 3-month period. The Mishnah gives a different shear. The Mishnah says that the ceiling is Misha Yakif Zokon HaTachton. So the Gemara answers that, in truth, we have to use both limitations and both lakula. He gives zakon afal gav delo malu shloshe chadashim if he already reaches the shear of hakofes zakon atachto and the beard has grown around. He's mufka from ben sarma even if we haven't yet reached the 3 months. So from godless until hakofes zakon took 2 months, and that's what the Mishnah wants to say, that he's already mufka from being a Ben Sor Mora 1 month before the Shlosh Chadashim. Molo Shlosh Chadashim v'afagav to lo hikiv. If first the Shlosh Chadashim period of time, this is what Rav Kruspidoy is teaching us, and establishing that the 3-month period is an automatic hafka, so from godless until 3 months, we count the 3 months, he can become a Ben Sor, but not beyond the 3 months, even if he hasn't reached the shear of hakofas Zokon HaTachta. So the boy becomes a full mature adult and he's mufka from the law of Ben Sor Morer when one of two things happens. Either he has Hakofa Zokon or 3 months since his godless has elapsed. Yosef Rav Yaakov Minar Pkod Kami de Ravina. Yosef Kami Shmei de Rav Huna Berei de Rav Yeshua. Now we're analyzing this business that a boy is fit. He's Roy Likroso Av. When is he Roy Likroso Av? After 3 months. 3 months after the conception took place. That's when she's showing. And at that point, he becomes Mufka from Ben Sorer Umorer. So the Gemara asks, can we derive from this Shma Mina Midrav Kruspidoy Omer Av Shabta Yoledes Lishiva is Ein Uber Nikar Lishlish Yomeha? If a woman gives birth after 7 months, then at what point does she show? Is it the same period of 3 months that applies to a full 9-month pregnancy, or is it an earlier period of time? You might say it's an early period of time relative to when she's going to give birth. Ubra nikar lishlish yomeha. If you're going to make it relative, so it's 1/3 of her day. Lomali shlosha. Why does Rav Kruspidoy set the standard as 3 months? That's the shear of Hafkas Ben Sarmar. Betray vitilsa sagya. If we take 1/3 of the pregnancy, that's a 7-month period, 7-month pregnancy, if she carries for only 7 months and then gives birth, then we end up with 2 1/3. So it should have been 2 1/3 months. And that would be mafkia, a ben soru morer, already after 2 1/3 months, at least on the tzad, that she's going to give birth prematurely after a 7-month period. So from that 2.3, meaning 2 1/3 up until 3 full months, if you want to judge and condemn a Ben Sorimar to death, you have a real suffix. We don't know if she, the woman that he impregnated, would be showing already after. Again, we don't have her in front of us. If we have her in front of us, that's a different issue. But would we assume that he's already Roy Lecroso Ben after 2 1/3 months? And then we would have to exonerate him from the condemnation and the Chiv Misa of a Ben Sorer. Or should we have a right to assume that the woman that he impregnated will go the full term 9 months, and it's only Hukar or Ubar, she only shows after 3 months. And therefore within that 2 1/3 until 3 months, he still is within the parasha of Ben Sorer Morer. And this question about a bas zayin chadashim, meaning a woman who gives birth after 7 months, when is it hukara ubar? Is it 3 months like a full term of 9, or is it 2 1/3? Is nogela maisa with regard to a sugyan yivamis? The rabbana made a gzera that if her husband dies or he divorces and she wants to get remarried, so the Rabbanan instituted a requirement that she would have to wait for a period of time before she gets married to the second person, because if she comes pregnant, we don't know if she was pregnant because of an intimate relationship that she had with her previous husband, or with the new husband. We don't know whether or not the father of the child is husband A or husband B. And if the Rabbanim wanted to extend the period of time. Now, how much of a period of time does she have to wait until she get remarried? Let's start with 3 months. I'm not talking about a nursing woman. That's already a different story. But 3 month period, which would give us the ability to see whether she was pregnant when she married the second guy. If she delays her marriage to the second husband till after 3 months following the gerushin of the first husband, then we know she was not impregnated by the first husband, and clearly the child that's born later on is born to the father of the second husband. But now if you're going to assume that it's quite possible that she would have carried 7 months, then let's say she went ahead and she violated this gezerah chacham, and she got married very quickly after the first husband divorced her. Let's say she waited 2 1/3 months. Then can we say that if she gives birth at the end of 7 months, then for sure it's a child born to the second husband? Or can we still assume that maybe it's the first father, it's the first husband is the father of the child, because since she got married to the second husband before the 2 1/3, it's quite possible that she should have shown by then. If she wasn't showing, then we automatically conclude and decisively determine that she was not impregnated by the first husband. Or do we assume no, that if she didn't wait the 3 months, we still have this suffix, and that's going to get to all sorts of issues of arias and who could marry whom, because you don't know who the father of the child is going to be. And at this point, the Gemara wants to derive from Rabbi Chris Bidai that even in the case of a 7 month period of pregnancy, she gave birth after 7 months, nevertheless she would be showing after the same 3 months as if she had carried for a full 9 months. And if that be the case, then we would have to be very careful. No, I'm sorry, we could be makil in that sense, and we could say that if 3 months passed and she's not showing, then certainly the father of this child is the second child. And if, on the other hand, she got married before to the second husband, violating the Takanas Chachamim before the 3 months, then we have to assume the possibility that maybe she became pregnant from the first husband. If, on the other hand, she gives birth after 7 months and she got married after 2 1/3 months, and we would not have derived this conclusion from Rav Chris Bidai, we would say, in any event, then the second husband is certainly the father of the child because she waited that minimum of 2 1/3 months, and she wasn't showing at the time of her marriage to the second guy. So the Gemara Olay, the Gemara answers, Liolam Emelcha Ubra Nikar Lishlishya Meh. That a pregnant woman shows, she's Hukar Ibra, after 1/3 of the pregnancy period. And in that case, we would say that Ein Hachinami, if she gave birth at the end of 7 months, the Hukar Ubra period would have been 2 1/3 months. Which would allow us in that scenario where she gave birth after 7 and she violated Takonis Chachom, the Gzeres Chachom, and she got married to the second guy, the second husband, after 2 1/3 months, we could be Mekil and determine with all complete certainty that it's the second husband who's indeed the father of the child. Now, if that be the case, then why does Rav Kruspa Dai postpone or extend the period of Ben Sorah Mara till after 3 months? And the answer to that is Zil Basa Ruba, because he's willing to say that only after the end of the third month is he a royal Ikroso Av based on the Rov. That since in Rov, in most cases, a woman carries a full 9 months, then if there's no right, then the point to which he would have impregnated her post the Shtei Saros, and she would be Hukar Uba, she would be noticeably pregnant, that would be up to 3 months, and not less than 3 months, even on the tzad that she would give birth after 7 months. But again, we're now saying that biologically, and that's the issue of the two husbands that we spoke about before, she would have been a hukar ubar in this case after 2 1/3 months, but nevertheless, in determining who is considered the chaloshem, the legal status of a roi lekroso av, that depends or is determined by the rov. But now there's a very strange halachas concern, because now you're going to put someone to death as a ben sora morer based on a rov, because again, it's after the 2 1/3 months, which, if he impregnated a woman who gave birth after 7 months, he's already royally croso av, she would be noticeably pregnant, based on the biology of 1/3 of her days of pregnancy. Is Amru Kamei de Rav Huda Berei de Rav Yeshua Omer Lehu Bedini Nefashas Mias Linen Basa Ruba? Can you kill this Ben Sora Mora after 2 1/2 months, 2 1/3 months post his Shtei Saros, and not give him the benefit of the doubt that he's already considered royal Lekroso Av if indeed he pregnated a woman who gave birth after 7 months, in which case already after 2 1/3 months he was royal Lekroso Av? Torah Omru v'shavtei l'vitzile, that we have a principle in the Torah that we always have to look to try to save a person who's being condemned to death, look for every possible justification to exonerate him and give him every benefit of the doubt. The ad amr zil basa ruba? No, the principle of rov doesn't apply in a case where we're trying desperately to find some sort of a method of judging a person in a way that he would not be guilty, would not be condemned to death. We should not execute a Ben Sora Mora who already has been a gadol, he had Shtei Saros for 2 1/3 months, because we have to be choshish that maybe he's already considered royal Lekroso Av because of those minority pregnancies that only last 7 months and are noticeable after 2 1/3 months. Now, the truth is that we do follow Rove in capital cases. For example, when we count the judges, we will determine and condemn a person to death based on the majority. There are other cases of Rove where we will put a person to death based on a Rove. Like, for example, Makeov. We don't know for sure it's his father, but we base ourselves on Rove. Or, for example, in a Rotzach case, how do you know the Nirtzach was not a Trefa? And the answer is that Rove people are not trefos. But all those kinds of cases apparently are different, that there we're going to establish a status based on a rov. Here, the Gemara insists that the status of Roy Lekoso Av should be based on the mute. So, Ahadre Kami Duravina, this objection of Rav Huna came to the attention of Ravina. Amaluhu, Ravina answered, "Bedina Nefashis Law is Lina Basaruva. I will prove to you that in fact we do rely on Rov to put someone to death." Vatnan, we have a Mishnah in Mesechta Sanhedrin on Daf Mem Amud Aleph Echad Omer. We have some sort of a discrepancy between the two witnesses. The first one says Bishnayim Bechodesh, that the criminal act was implemented on the second day of the month. Vechon Vishlosha. And the second aid says on the third day of the month. Edusa Kayemis will qualify and validate the witnesses as a kat and assume there's no akosh. You know, it's at the beginning of the month, back in the day when they did Kiddush HaChodesh al pi Re'iyah, it wasn't clear exactly what was the status of the previous month. Was it a 29-day month, which is a chaser, or a 30-day month, which is a mole? And afkavi is going to be whether we're up now a few days later, the second day of the month, the third day of the month. If you're going to worry about the minority, Nema, Hani Dafka Komisadi, that each of these witnesses was very meticulous and he knew exactly when the month was determined, whether it was a full 30 or a 29. Vakushe hudakamakushe, and they're really contradicting each other. So why not apply the principle of v'shavto edivitzile to elalav? The answer must be damri zil basaruba, v'ruba de inchi. It's very common, and the majority of people are apt to make this mistake in terms of the previous month where it's a mole or a chaser. So therefore, this is a rejection of Huna's kasha, because you see that we will rely on Rov, and therefore Rav Krispidoy will give the Ben Sor Morer the possibility of being condemned to death for the full 3 months based on Rov. Now the Gemara gives us another example where we can condemn a person to death in a capital crime, for a capital crime even based on Rov. Omar Rav Yirmiyah Midifti. This is a Mishnah in Masechta Nidan Daf Mem Dalid Amid Beis. Bas Sholosh Shanim V'Yom Echad Miskadeshes Bibia. In the case of a father who married off his three-year-old daughter with Kiddushei Bia, in Ba'aleha Yavam Kna'a. Let's say that after this marriage was clinched, her husband dies without leaving any children, and therefore she falls for Yivam. And not only that, V'chayavam Aleha Mishumesh Ish. If the father married her off at the age of three, she's a full-fledged Ish. And if anyone has an adulterous relation with her while she's married, he's chayev misa. Umetama esbola. If this girl is a nida, even though she's very young, she could become a nida, then anyone who has beer with her becomes tamei betumas nida. That's called boel nida. And that is a tuma chamura, a very severe, heavy tuma. Litami mishkav hatachton ke'elion. That if, let's say, she has contact with the mishkav hatachton, let's say we'll call it the bottom mattress, then the top is also the elion is also tame. V'niseis l'koin v'yochelus truma. And if she was married up by a father to a kohen, then she's an eshesish doraisa, she can eat truma. Bo'alechem min apsulim. If somebody who disqualifies her, bebia, has a relationship with her, apostle min akuna, she is excluded and disqualified from eating truma. V'im bo'alechem mikol arayas haburus betora. If she has a relationship with any of the arayos, mumasim aleha, we can put them to death. But Vehi Ptura, she's not liable because she's still a Ktana. So again, anyone who is in the gether of arayos, which means that the bia would generate a chiyuv kares, would be chayav if he had a relation with her. The Mishnah certainly indicates that if somebody had a bia with this girl who's shalosh shanim, then he is chayav misa. And this is all based on rov l'chora. Why? V'amai, why shouldn't we say, Ema island is he, v'adayt ochilo kidesh? We have a principle called mekachtos, that if a man marries a woman, and later on he finds out that she's an islandess, that means she's incapable of bearing children. Again, the technical term islandess refers to a woman who never develops the physical signs of maturity. Normally a nara, when she shows two saros, we know that she's a woman in the full sense of female maturity, but in this case, this woman never developed saros. She exhibited all sorts of characteristics of a male rather than a female. She's called an islandess. And the Gemara Ksubis on Daf Yud Aleph establishes that if a man marries a woman and he finds out, to his surprise, to his chagrin, that she was an islandess, a mekavtos, we can completely annul the marriage because it was done under false premises. He didn't realize that he was marrying an islandess. So the Kedusha were Kedushay Tos. Now, getting back to this case of Ba'al Bas Shaloshonim, what happens? We're going to put this Boel to death. And what happens if later on this young girl turns out to be an islandess? We'll only find that out years down the line when she reaches the age of 12, and we assume that at that point she should have simonim. Maybe we have to wait for other simonim that come even later in her life. The reason why we can put the boel to death is because we assume that she's not an islandess. Rov noshim lav ilonios ninu. And therefore the marriage is a valid marriage. There's not going to be any mekav tos. But once again, we see clearly that we can put someone to death based on a rov. So Gemara says, lo, I can counter this as well. It doesn't mean we could put someone to death based on a rov. What it really means is that we're talking about the chiyuv karma, that we can require a person to bring a chiyuv karban chatos if b'shogeg he had a relationship with her, unbeknown to him she was an ashes ish, and he has to bring a karban. And even though there is a chance that this girl's an islandess, but nevertheless, we can rely on Rov to be Machai of the adulterer, a Karma Chatas for Shogeg, because we're not executing him. And if it's not a Chiyuv Misa, if we're not condemning him to death, we can rely on statistical majority on Rov. But the Gemara asks right away the following question, Mumsin al Yodak Tani. The Mishnah says explicitly that based on this relationship, that this illegal, illegitimate relationship with this 3-year-old girl, we put the boil to death. Obviously, we're talking about a capital crime. We're not talking about carbon. And the Gemara answers, "Beba aleha aviha." The case was that the father himself had a relationship with her. And if that be the case, the erva that's mentioned here in this Mishnah is the father. And therefore, Machayev of Misa here has nothing to do with her marriage. Her marriage is valid. It's not valid. She'll be an island. She won't be an island. It doesn't matter. All that is irrelevant. Let's say the marriage is null and void, but the father had a relationship with his own daughter, and that's why he's going to be put to death, because she's a Bas Shalosh. So once again, the Gemara says that can't be true, because for her, what does it say in this Mishnah? In Ba'aleh Echad Mikol Arayos Ketani, that's what it says, any of the Arayos. So we're talking about two different types of arayos, either, you know, relatives, which is called sher basar, or ishus, or as a result of the fact that she's a married woman. So even if the bowl is not related to her at all, so there's no iser erva machmas sher basar, nevertheless he'll be put to death because he's having a relationship with an ishus ish. But how do we know this ishus is valid? Maybe she'll turn out to be an islandess. The case that we're dealing with in this Mishnah, where we could put the boil to death, is a case of
a man who marries a woman and he says at the time of the marriage, I'm willing to be married, I'm excited about marrying her, whether or not she is a normal woman or if she turns out to be an nihilist, in any event, I'm accepting. So he has completely undermined and neutralized the toes element, because he made an explicit statement that he wants to marry this girl even if she will turn out to be an island. So there's no fear that Lamafreya, this will be a Mecca Tos, we even validate and undermine the marriage. Therefore, the Boel, certainly, if he's at Erva, is Chaya for Misa, and we have no reason to rely on Rove. We don't have to rely on Rove, because even if she does turn out to be an island, that's totally, totally irrelevant. The Gemara had mentioned that if a girl has a relationship, it's only halachically valid if she was 3 years old. And now the Gemara wants to discuss what is the minimum age of a boy, when is his so-called cohabitation legally valid according to Allah Tan Rabbanon, Hamisoleles Bivna Katan, if a woman fondles her husband, who's a katan, veheraba, and as a result, he, the katan, has what's called chilas bia, which we've discussed in the past. That means that there is contact between his aver and her aver. Is Beit Shammai omrim psalam in akuna ubeis hillel machshirin? Does this bia of a katan have the validity of a bia? In which case, she becomes, this mother becomes completely disqualified from kahuna. That's a machlokus between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. And we're going to soon see that the machlokus Beis Hillel Beis Shammai is about a young boy who's less than 9 years old. My question here is, why does the Brice address the case of psul kahuna under the law of Zona? Why doesn't the Brice address the case of Misa? And why doesn't it discuss anything about executing her for having a relationship with her son? Rashi suggests that this Brice is addressing a case where there was no Hasra. And if there was no Hasra, we cannot put her to death and execute her for this capital crime. But on the other hand, the psul zona is chal memela by virtue of the fact that she had this bia with this ha'ara with her own son. It's amazing to me how the Gemara considers all different kinds of cases. Omer Avchia bereid Rabba bar Nachmani Omer Avchizda v'yamri le Omer Avchizda Omer Ze'iri hakol modu b'ben teisha shan v'yechad shebi'asan bia. Beis Hillel never denied that if the child is 9 years old, then he's capable of a valid maisa bia, which is halachically recognized. But pachos ben shlosha, ben shmon, if he's less than 8 years old, ein biyasa bia. Everybody, even Beit Shammai, agrees that his bia is not a valid, recognized bia according to halacha. Lo nechtechu ela ben shmona. What's the status of a ben shmona? He's 8 years old. Beit Shammai savri. Gamrina midoras harishonim. The Gemara is going to have a long sugya now to prove that in doras harishonim, in the earlier generations, for example, at the time of Shlomo Melch and so forth and so on, maybe even back to the time of Avram and Nachar, an 8-year-old boy could father a child. And let's derive from that the Torah validates the bia of a ben Shmona. Ubeisil savri lo gamrina midoras harishonim. They still say that we don't derive any conclusions halachically from what was like in the Doros HaRishonim. What went on in biblical times is irrelevant today. Boys nowadays cannot inseminate a woman until they are 9 years old, and that's the way the halacha is determined. So the Gemara says, and Beit Shammai, how do they know the Doros HaRishonim, Minon Diolid, that an eight-year-old boy back in the day was able to be father a child? And the Gemara is going to prove it from the case of Achitofel. And Achitofel is the great grandfather of Shlomo HaMelech. And if we can determine how old Achitofel was when Shlomo HaMelech was 2 years old, let's assume Shlomo was two when Achitofel died, then we can figure out how many generations Achitofel gave birth to within a very short period of time, because he died at the ripe old age of 33. So the Gemara says, Ilei memirchsiv halozos basheva bas eliam eshes uriachiti. This is when David HaMelech recognizes her. And this Bathsheba is the daughter of Eliam. She's the marriage partner of Uriah. And Eliam is the son of Achitofel. That's the next Pasuk Gemara quotes. These are all psukim from Sefer Shmuel. It says that Eliam ben Achitofel Hagiloni. So it means Eliam is the grandfather of Shlomo, and Eliam's father is Achitofel. He's the great grandfather of Shlomo. Okay, now let's go through some of the events that occurred before Avshalom rebelled against his father David HaMelech, and this all happened in the aftermath of the Maisa of Amnon and Tamar, where Amnon violated his own sister Tamar. 2 years later, Avshalom avenges this and kills Amnon, and as a result of killing Amnon, this eventually leads up to his becoming the rebellious son who rebels against his father and is Mori b'Malchus Ksiv. The pasuk says Vayishlach Biyad Nosan Anovi Vikra Shmo Yedidya. This is a reference to Shlomo HaMelech is called by the Navi Nosan Yedidya. He's a friend of God. Bavur Hashem Avo, because God loves him. And Uksiv it says, Vayi Lishnatayim Yomim Vayu Gozizin Liav Shalom. So 2 years after Shlomo HaMelech's birth, we find that Avshalom had sheep shearers. Uksiv Avshalom Barach Vayelech Gishur or Gishura Vahisham Shalshonim. So at this point, Avshalom flees and he goes to Gishur, where he was for 3 years. So at this point, Shlomo HaMelech is now 5 years old. Uksiv Vayeshev Avshalom Yushalayim Shnatayim Yomim Upnei HaMelech Lo Ra'a. Now the rebellion is being cooked up. Avshalom is in Yushalayim another 2 years. Now Shlomo HaMelech is 7 years old. Uksiv, what happens at this point is Vayhi Miketz Arboim Shana Yomer Avshalom HaMelech El Chana Vashalem Es Nidri Asher Nadarti Lashem Mechavron. He, Avshalom, before he declares his rebellion, he asks the king, Melech David, for permission to fulfill his vow to go to Hebron. Uksiv, and the pasuk says, Achitofel ra'a ki lo nesesa atzoso. Achitofel, who is still alive at this point, he's giving a counsel to Avshalom, and he tells him at that point, because there was, you know, David HaMelech was weak, that at that point he should take David HaMelech, but for some reason Avshalom refuses to take that counsel, and as a result Achitofel realizes that the rebellion of Avshalom is going to fail. So Achitofel now is all depressed. Uksiv, the pasuk says, Achitofel roki lo nesasat soso vayachvoshes hachamor vayokom vayilich el beso el iro vayitzav el beso vayichonik. And at this point Achitofel commits suicide. So he again is the great grandfather of Shlomo HaMelech, and he commits suicide. Now we're going to try to determine how old is Achitofel when he when he suicides. And again, at this point in time, Shlomo Melech is all of 7 years old. Uksiv, Anshe Domim Umirma Lo Yechtsu Yemeim. David Melech says about two people who are called Anshe Domim, that's Doeg and Achitofel, that they will not live half their years. Now, the average person lives till the age of 70, so these guys will die before the age of 35. Doeg had slaughtered the city of Nov, and therefore he betrayed David HaMelech. And of course, in the case of Achitofel, he was involved in the Avshalom rebellion against Shlomo, and therefore he's also considered, Achitofel is also considered Anshe Domim. He's also going to die before he's 34. Now, I'm sorry, 35. Now, who dies first, Doeg or Achitofel? It says the following: Vesanya, we have a brisa kol shenosav shel Doeg edem ela shloshim v'arba. So Doeg dies at the age of 34. V'shal Achitofel, he died even earlier. Edem ela shloshim v'shalosh. He died at the age of 33. And the Mefarshim say he died a year before Doeg, at a younger by 1 year, because he committed suicide. Kama havyelahu. So how old was Achitofel when he died? He was tlasin utlas, right? He was 33. This we've established explicitly in the Brisa. Dal sheva davi Shlomo. Let's try to calculate exactly how he had these four generations during his short lifetime, which lasted up until his 33rd birthday. We have to subtract the 7 years of Shlomo HaMelech. And then what we're left with is Pashlu Esrim Vishis. So it means that when Shlomo HaMelech was born, he's the great-grandson of Achitofel. Achitofel is all of 26 years old, which means that he fathered three generations during his 26 years. Now, if that be the case, Dal Tarti Shnei Litlasa Ibure, there were three generations of pregnancy, so we have to subtract those years of pregnancy. Let's assume the pregnancies were the minimum of pregnancy. Let's say 7 months plus a month for Tumah V'Tahara. Ishtakol Chav V'Chav V'Tamnei Olid. So each generation gave birth after 8. So we multiply 8 by 3 and we get 24. So we have to subtract another 2 years. So if we deduct another 2 years from 26, we're down to 24. And imagine Achitofel gives birth to three generations. He's the great-grandfather of Shlomo. And this is all within a 24-year-old period. 24-year period. Now, if it's a period of time of 24 years, then what you divide 24 by 3 and you get 8. 8 and 8 is 12. I'm sorry, 8 and 8 is 16. The hour is late, sorry. And you add another 8, you get 24. So after 8, you know, there were three generations. That's Achitofel, Elaim, and Batsheva, who gave birth to Shlomo, each of which gave birth at the age of 8. So the Gemara rejects this by saying, Mimai, Dilma, Travayu, Betesha, Olid. Maybe both Achitofel and Elam gave birth at the age of 9. They fathered a child. Ubas, Sheva, Olid, Bishis. To make up for those 2 years, we'll say that Batsheva gave birth not at the age of 8, but at the age of 6. Can you imagine how young she was when David HaMelech saw her on the roof? Mishum de Issa Baria. Because a woman is considered healthier or stronger. She has more vitality than a man. She's able to procreate at a younger age. So in other words, a woman matures more quickly. She's capable of reproducing at a younger age. And therefore, Batsheva gave birth at the age of 6. But there's no proof here to support Beit Shammai that a boy can give birth at the age of 8. Teda, and the Gemara says, I can prove to you that a woman matures more quickly than a man, and she can therefore give birth at a younger age. Dehahavila Vlad Meikara, because there was a child that was born to Batsheva even before Shlomo HaMelech. And if you assume she was 8 when she gave birth to Shlomo, then how old was she when she gave birth to that Vlad who was, you know, born before Shlomo? And again, this is based on a pasuk in Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Beis, which says that she gave birth to a child that died as an infant. Anyway, it's possible that Beit Sheva conceived Shlomo when she was all of six. Achitophel and Elam fathered children when they were nine, and this rejects the proof, undermines the proof that boys could give birth at the age of eight, and therefore we no longer have an established proof that Bedoros or Rishonim, they gave birth at the age of eight. Elami Hach, the Gemara gives another source for this. Ela told us Terach Holidus Avram es Nochem es Haran. The assumption here is that the Torah is presenting the three sons of Terach in order of their birth, meaning oldest first. Avram Godol Minochem Shana, the Nochem Godol Miharan Shana. So it means that Avram, who's a year older than Nochem, is 2 years older than Haran. Nims Avram Godol Shtei Shana Miharan, and he's 2 years older than Haran. Uksiv Ayikach Avram v'Nochalem Noshim. Avram and Nochor got married. Avram married Sarai, who's called Yiska in the Torah. The name of Nochor's wife was Milcah, who was the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Yiska. V'yom Rav Yitzchak Yiska Zu Sarai. V'lam Nikresh Shma Yiska. Two explanations as to why Sarai is called Yiska. One is she socha beruach hakodesh. Socha is milosha, to gaze or to see intensely the divine spirit ruach hakodesh. Finally, the ksiv kol asher tomar elecha Sara shma b'kol, you should always listen to Sara because she has ruach hakodesh. Dover acher Yiska shakol sochim biyofyo. Everyone gazes at her beauty. She was extraordinarily beautiful. But in any event, we now know that Sarah was the daughter of Haran, and therefore we can calculate how old Haran was when she was born. Why? Because we know that Avram was 10 years older than Sarah. How do we know that? Uksiv vayipol Avram alpona vayitzchak vayomer belibo. Avram, when he heard that he was going to bear a child at such an old age, he was very excited about it. And he was so joyous that he fell on his face and he laughed. Kama kashish Avram misara. How much older is Avram than Sarah? Eser shanim. He's 10 years older, meaning he's 100 and she's 90 at the time that Yitzchak is born. Vikashish me'avut, and he's older than her father by tartin shanim, by 2 years. Ishtakach, therefore comes out, the calculation is, ki older Haran Lasara, how old was Haran when he begat Sarah, Vitamne Olida? He gave birth to her at the age of 8. In other words, Haran was, let's say, a minimum of 16 months younger than Avram. It means he was 8 years and 8 months old when Sarah was born. Now, if you allow 8 months for pregnancy, then Haran was 8 years old when he begat Sarah. So the Gemara says, Mimai, is this really a convincing proof? Dilma Avram Zuta V'Achua Hava. In other words, even though the Torah mentions Avram first, that doesn't mean he was the oldest of the three brothers, but Derech Chachmasan Kachashiv Lehu. The Torah is giving on the order of their wisdom. And Avram is the wisest of the three, therefore he's mentioned first. Teidal, I'll give you a proof. The Kachashiv Lehu Kra Derech Chachmasam. I'll show it to you with regard to Noach and his children. Dichsiv Vayhi Noach ben Chamesh Me'el Shana Vayolid Noach Hashem Escham Ves Yafes. So Shem is mentioned first. Shem Godol Micham Shana. Cham Godol Miefes Shana. Nimtza Shem Godol Miefes Shtei Shanim. And this is not true. Ksiv Noach ben Shlosh Me'el Shana Vamabol Yamayim Al Ha'aretz. Ksiv Ela told us Shem ben Ma'ashon of a Yoledes Arpachshad Shnatayim Achra Mavul. And all this again is to prove that Derech Chachmasim Kachashiv, because the Torah records the descendants of Shem. Shem was 100 years old when he begat Arpachshad, 2 years after the flood. Ben Ma'ashona, if Shem, who was the oldest brother, was 100 years old and he was 2 years after the flood, how is that possible? Bar Me'a Vitartin Shonin Hava. according to that calculation, he would have been 102 years old. Ela derech chachmasan kachashiv, hachanami derech chachmasan kachashiv lu, and therefore Avram may have been, in fact, the youngest of the three sons of Terach, not the oldest. He was mentioned first because he was the wisest. And the Gemara is going to have to now come up with another proof to establish that an 8-year-old boy could give birth to a child. Okay, we'll stop here.